السلام عليكم ورحمة الله وبركاته. Dear brothers in Islam, before I begin, I have a kind request to make of all of you. If you can please come forward and fill up the gaps, may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala reward you all. Because yesterday there were a few brothers who were finding it a bit uncomfortable sitting behind by the entrance. So just in case they come after praying, they can sit comfortably. Please come forward and fill up the gaps so that the gathering will look full and complete. Jazakumullah khair. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala make this gathering a gathering where the angels shroud us with their wings, the sakina and tranquility of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala descends upon us. And may Allah azza wa jal make high mention of us in the seven heavens. Ameen. Bismillahir Rahmanir Rahim. Alhamdulillahi Rabbil Alameen. Wa usalli wa usallimu ala ashrafil anbiya'i wal mursaleen. Nabiyyina wa habibina wa qurrati a'yunina Muhammad ibn Abdillah. Alayhi wa ala alihi wa ashabihi afdalu salati wa atamu taslim. Amma ba'd. We begin by praising Allah Azza wa Jal, who is no doubt our creator, sustainer, nourisher, protector and curer. We ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to shower his choicest of blessings and salutations upon our beloved Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sallam, his family members, his companions and all those who tread upon his path with utmost sincerity until the day of Qiyamah. O slaves of Allah, first and foremost I advise myself and then all of you all to adopt a life of taqwa. That is to fear Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and to be conscious of Him azza wa jal during every single second of our lives if we wish to attain success in this world as well as the hereafter. For after all, even the purpose behind fasting in this blessed month is to attain taqwa. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, He states in the Noble Quran, يَا أَيُّهَا الَّذِينَ آمَنُوا كُتِبَ عَلَيْكُمُ الصِّيَامُ كَمَا كُتِبَ عَلَى الَّذِينَ مِنْ قَبْلِكُمْ لَعَلَّكُمْ تَتَّقُونَ. O you who believe, كُتِبَ عَلَيْكُمُ الصِّيَامُ, fasting has been prescribed upon you all, كَمَا كُتِبَ عَلَى الَّذِينَ مِنْ قَبْلِكُمْ, just as how it was prescribed upon the nations before you all, for what purpose? لَعَلَّكُمْ تَتَّقُونَ, so that you adopt taqwa, so that you become people of taqwa. Taqwa is the ultimate objective even behind Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala creating us. Allah azza wa jal states, وَمَا خَلَقُتُ الْجِنَّ وَالْإِنسَ إِلَّا لِيَعْبُدُونَ, that I have not created jinn kind or mankind for any other purpose other than ibadah. And in another place Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentions the purpose of ibadah, يَا أَيُّهَا النَّاسُ عُبُدُوا رَبَّكُمُ الَّذِي خَلَقَكُمْ وَالَّذِينَ مِنْ قَبْلِكُمْ لَعَلَّكُمْ تَتَّقُونَ. O mankind, worship your Lord, the one who created you all and the ones before you all. For what purpose? لَعَلَّكُمْ تَتَّقُونَ, so that you adopt taqwa, so that you become people of taqwa. If we adopt taqwa, we no doubt become successful in this world as well as the hereafter. As Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentions in Surah An-Naba, إِنَّ لِلْمُتَّقِينَ مَفَازَ, indeed for the people of taqwa is mafaza, victory in this world as well as the hereafter. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala make us all from the people of taqwa, and may He azza wa jal make us from the victorious and successful ones. Ameen. Now getting back to the Messenger series, alayhimu salatu wassalam, where did we stop yesterday? Where did I leave you all? You mentioned the story of Qabil and Habil, and then? Okay, we're about to start Nuh alayhi salatu wasalam. You know, many, many moons ago, there was an individual by the name Mullah Nasruddin. One day, the people of his city, they approached Mullah Nasruddin, and they invited him to come and deliver a talk. Now Mullah Nasruddin got a bit agitated because he was not ready to deliver a talk and he did not want to deliver a talk, but they kept insisting and he finally agreed. The day of the talk arrives and he goes out to address the people. The people had all gathered. He starts off his talk by asking them, "Oh people, do you know what I'm going to talk about?" Everybody cried out in unison, "No!" Then Mullah Nasruddin said, "What's the point of talking to a people who don't know what I'm going to talk about?" And he left. Now this embarrassed the people a lot. And they thought, let's invite him again. But now let's plan it out properly. If he asks a similar question, let's all say, yes, we know what he's going to talk about. So they invite him a second time. And this time too, Mullah agrees. The day of the talk arrives. He goes out and the people have gathered. He addresses the people. He starts off the talk by asking them, "Oh people, do you know what I'm going to talk about?" They all cried out, "Yes, yes, Mullah, we know what you're going to talk about." "Mashallah, then if you all know what I'm going to talk about, what's the point of me talking about it?" And he left. Now this time too, they were perplexed. And they thought, how can we make this man talk? And they decided, let's plan it out. Half of us, let's say, we know what he's going to talk. And the other half, let's say, we don't know what he's going to talk about. So they invite him a third time. The third time too, Mullah arrives. And he asks the people, "Oh people, do you know what I'm going to talk about?" Half of the crowd said, "Yes, Mullah, we know what you're going to talk about." And the other half said, "No, Mullah, we don't know what you're going to talk about." The Mullah said, "Okay, fine. The ones who know what I'm going to talk about, please tell the ones who don't know what I'm going to talk about." And he left. But don't worry, I'm not going to say what Mullah said. Yeah? So, alhamdulillah, yesterday we spoke about Habil, we spoke about Qabil and Habil. We spoke about the death of Adam alayhi salatu wasalam. We also slightly mentioned about his son, Sheith alayhi salatu wasalam. And then I told you all that today, inshallah ta'ala, we will be talking about Idris alayhi salatu wasalam as well as Nuh alayhi salatu wasalam. Now you might wonder why we are not going into the story of Sheith alayhi salatu wasalam, otherwise known as the Prophet Seth. Sheith alayhi salatu wasalam. The reason being, Sheith alayhi salatu wasalam was a prophet that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala does not talk about in the Quran. We know very little about him, and this too from the sunnah of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. So all we know about him is that he was a son from the sons of Adam alayhi salatu wasalam, and he was the son who used to live with Adam alayhi salatu wasalam. He was a very obedient son of Adam alayhi salatu wasalam. And when Adam alayhi salatu wasalam was on his deathbed, he advised and he entrusted the responsibility of calling people, of reminding people about Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to his son, Sheith alayhi salatu wasalam. Now after Sheith alayhi salatu wasalam, and during that time, my dear brothers and sisters in Islam, the people of that time were all upon Tawheed. They were all upon Tawheed. So there was actually not much of an effort that was required at that time, because they were all upon Tawheed. They all used to remember Allah Azza wa Jalla, and they used to adhere to the commandments of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So we also spoke about, yesterday we mentioned Qabil and Habil. We spoke about the first murder that ever took place, the first individual to ever commit fratricide, to murder his own brother, Qabil, who murdered his own brother. We mentioned all of this. So today, inshallah ta'ala, we will start off with the story of the Prophet Idris alayhi salatu wasalam. Now in regard to Idris alayhi salatu wasalam as well, Allah Azza wa Jal mentions him in the Noble Quran, where he states, وَذْكُرْ فِي الْكِتَابِ إِدْرِيسِ إِنَّهُ كَانَ صِدِّيقًا نَبِيًّا. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala states, and mention in the book, in the Quran, Idris. إِنَّهُ كَانَ صِدِّيقًا نَبِيًّا. Verily, he was a man of truth and a nabi. He was a prophet of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. He, Idris alayhi salatu wasalam, he strove hard in reminding the people about Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. He strove so hard and he spread the message and reminded people so much that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala revealed unto him, "O Idris, you are rewarded on a daily basis, equivalent to the rewards of all of the children of Adam alayhi salatu wasalam." On a daily basis, he gets the rewards of all of the children, equivalent of all of the children of Adam alayhi salatu wasalam. Because he strove so hard in reminding people about Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. He strove so hard in reminding people about Allah Azza wa Jal. So each time someone did a good deed, obviously because perhaps he would have reminded him, he gets an equal share of the reward. And this was revealed unto Idris alayhi salatu wasalam. Now one day what happened was, this is a Israeli narration that has been mentioned in the books of history, and we spoke about Israeli narrations yesterday. Hadithu an bani Israel wa la haraj. As long as it does not conflict with what we have, we can go through those narrations, no issues with it, based on the words of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. So in this particular narration, the narrator makes mention that an angel came down from the heavens. An angel came down from the heavens and met Idris alayhi salatu wasalam. When he met Idris alayhi salatu wasalam, Idris alayhi salatu wasalam asked this angel, "I wish to meet Malakul Maut. I wish to meet Malakul Maut." This angel asked him why. Then he said, "Now Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has revealed unto me that on a daily basis He rewards me equivalent to all the rewards of the children of Adam alayhi salatu wasalam. So I want to ask Malakul Maut whether he can approach Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and whether I can be given an extension, because I want to accumulate more rewards. Because every single day I get more rewards. So I want an extension given to me so that I can accumulate as many rewards as possible from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala." So this angel, he was close to Idris alayhi salatu wasalam. So he said, "Fine." And he carried Idris alayhi salatu wasalam up to the heavens. Up to the heavens. They crossed the first heaven, second heaven, third heaven, and the fourth heaven. Malakul Maut was on the fourth heaven. So the angel approaches Malakul Maut. He greets him and then he says, "Ya Malakul Maut, Idris alayhi salatu wasalam conveys his salams to you, and he wishes to have an audience with you." In other words, he wants to have a conversation, a meeting with you. Malakul Maut replies the salam back, and then he says, "Why does he want to meet me?" Then the angel said, "Well, this is the thing. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has revealed unto him that he is being rewarded on a daily basis, equivalent to the rewards of all of the children of Adam alayhi salatu wasalam. So he wants to ask you whether you can approach Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and whether he can be granted an extension so that he can accumulate as many rewards as possible." Then Malakul Maut thought about it, and then he asked the angel, "But where is Idris now? Where is Idris alayhi salatu wasalam now?" Then this angel said, "He is with me, he is also on the fourth heaven." Then Malakul Maut said, "Subhanallah. Allah Azza wa Jal had decreed that I should take the soul of Idris alayhi salatu wasalam on the fourth heaven. And when Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala decreed this, I was perplexed. I was wondering, Idris alayhi salatu wasalam, an individual living on the face of this earth, how on earth is he going to come to the fourth heaven, and how am I going to take his soul whilst he's on the fourth heaven?" Now, the minute he said this, the other angel understood what was coming, and he asked Malakul Maut, "Ya Malakul Maut, how long does Idris alayhi salatu wasalam have in terms of life remaining?" Malakul Maut said, "No, he does not even have time to bat his eyelid. He does not even have time to bat his eyelid, even to close his eyes and open it." Then the minute he said that, Malakul Maut took the soul of Idris alayhi salatu wasalam. Allah Azza wa Jal states in the ayah I recited earlier, the very next ayah, وَرَفَعْنَاهُ مَكَانًا عَلِيًّا وَرَفَعْنَاهُ مَكَانًا عَلِيًّا. And we raised Idris alayhi salatu wasalam to a high station. Scholars of tafsir mentioned the high station was the fourth heaven. And in the hadith of Isra and Mi'raj, Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wasallam, when he went on the amazing night journey, he met Idris alayhi salatu wasalam on the fourth heaven. He was on the fourth heaven, Idris alayhi salatu wasalam. So this is about it in regard to Idris alayhi salatu wasalam. And now we move on to the next major prophet. He was a Rasul, not a Nabi, a Rasul, a messenger, Nuh alayhi salatu wasalam. Nuh alayhi salatu wasalam. Now after the death of Adam alayhi salatu wasalam, mankind remained upon Tawheed. Mankind remained upon Tawheed for many, many years. They remained upon Tawheed for many, many years. Ibn Abbas radiallahu anhuma, he mentions that between Adam alayhi salatu wasalam and Nuh alayhi salatu wasalam, there was a time gap of almost around 8 to 10 centuries. 8 to 10 centuries, where the people of that time, they remained upon Tawheed. But before we go further, we need to clarify this word century, because in Arabic, the books of history mention Qarn. Qarn. The word Qarn, in today's context, is directly translated as a century. Scholars of history and tafsir, they mention that the more probable or the more favorable opinion is that a Qarn can be interpreted as a century, it can be interpreted as a millennium, that's 1,000 years. It can also be interpreted as a jil, as a generation. And the more favorable opinion is that either 10,000 years, there were 10,000, because remember how long? Their lifespan were extremely long. How long did Adam alayhi salatu wasalam live? 960 years we mentioned. And I will study Nuh alayhi salatu wasalam, his lifespan was 1,700 odd years. 1,700 odd years. So they say either it was, we take it as a millennium, and that would mean 8,000 to 10,000 years, or we go with generations, which is the more favorable opinion, that there were 10 generations, 8 to 10 generations between Adam alayhi salatu wasalam and Nuh alayhi salatu wasalam. Now at that time, at the time of Nuh alayhi salatu wasalam, just before Nuh alayhi salatu wasalam was appointed as a prophet, there were five very, very righteous individuals. Five very righteous individuals. And their names were Wad, Suwa', Yaghuth, Ya'uq, and Nasr. Wad, Suwa', Yaghuth, Ya'uq, and Nasr. There were five righteous individuals who feared Allah. They worshipped Allah, they were very much devoted, and they worshipped Allah a lot. They were very righteous and pious individuals. After their death, after they passed away, Shaytan seized the opportunity, and now he begins his mission. He starts off by whispering in their minds, in the minds of the people, why don't you put up effigies in remembrance of these individuals? Why don't you put up statues? Why don't you put up monuments? Now you see, like I said, look how he dealt with our father Adam alayhi salatu wasalam, and now look at how he is dealing with the people of that time. He didn't go to them and tell them, worship something apart from Allah, commit shirk, associate partners unto Allah. No, no, no. He went to them and he said, you know, they were really righteous people. How sad that we have lost them. Why don't you put up some monuments? Why don't you put up some statues to remember them? And he whispered in their mind, so each time you look at the statue, each time you look at the effigy, you will remember this righteous individual. You will remember Wad, you will remember Suwa', you will remember Yaghuth, Ya'uq, you will remember Nasr, and that will motivate you to do good deeds. That will motivate you to do good deeds. You will keep remembering these righteous individuals. Why don't you put up some statues? So the people, they thought about it. They thought, yeah, after all, they were righteous individuals and it's a good move. Their intentions were okay at that time. They just wanted to remember them, and also motivate themselves. Oh, so and so, what, he was such a righteous individual. He used to spend the night in prayer. He used to do so much. So they used to look at the statue. They wanted to look at the statues and motivate themselves. So they put up statues. They put up monuments. They put up effigies in remembrance of these five individuals. Now what happened? Generation after generation passed. With each generation, Shaytan kept whispering. Shaytan is a very patient individual. He does not attack immediately. He lies in wait and then plans out his snares, his traps. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala protect us. Ameen. Generation after generation passed. With each generation, he kept whispering in their minds. After a few generations, the younger generations forgot why their predecessors had put up these monuments, put up these effigies, and now they started to make tawassul. They started to seek the help of Allah through these statues. They used to go worship, not directly worship the statues. He whispered in their minds, they are righteous individuals. You know, perhaps your dua will be answered if you go through them. Use them as a stepping stone. Use them as a stepping stone. Then your dua will be answered. Go and ask through Wad, through Suwa', through Yaghuth, through Ya'uq, through Nasr. He started off with that. And after a few more generations had passed by, He started whispering in their minds, now you know, worship them. Now generation after generation had passed by, they had forgotten why their predecessors had put up the monuments, put up the effigies, and they had forgotten why their earlier predecessors were making tawassul. The younger children, see, when the older generation used to make tawassul, they used to go by the statues and they used to seek help through the statue. But it would look from outward as if they were worshipping the statue. So the younger children who saw their parents going and sitting and making prostration and making dua towards the statues thought, you know, these are our gods. These are our gods. And they started to finally worship the statues. They completely forgot about Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and they started to worship these five idols. In other words, they were not idols. They were righteous individuals, but they put up idols, they put up monuments, and now they were being worshipped with Su'a', Yaghuth, Ya'uq, and Nasr. They started venerating them so much to the extent that they fell into the pit of destruction where they started to worship these idols. Now this was the point when Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala sent down the first Rasul. The first Rasul, Nuh alayhi salatu wa salam. Allah Azza wa Jal, He mentions in Surah Al-A'raf, لَقَدْ أَرْسَلْنَا نُوحًا إِلَىٰ قَوْمِهِ فَقَالَ يَا قَوْمِ اعْبُدُوا اللَّهَ مَا لَكُمْ مِنْ إِلَهٍ غَيْرٌ إِنِّي أَخَافُ عَلَيْكُمْ عَذَابَ يَوْمٍ عَظِيمٍ لَقَدْ أَرْسَلْنَا نُوحًا إِلَىٰ قَوْمِهِ Indeed, we sent Nuh to his قوم, to his people. فَقَالْ And he said, يَا قَوْمْ O my people, O my nation, اُعْبُدُ اللَّهِ Worship Allah. مَا لَكُمْ مِنْ إِلَهٍ غَيْرُ You have no other God other than Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. إِنِّي أَخَافُ عَلَيْكُمْ عَذَابَ يَوْمٍ عَظِيمٍ And I certainly fear for you the torment of a great day. If you do not turn to Allah, I fear that you may have to face a great punishment from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. In Surah Hud, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentions, وَلَقَدْ أَرْسَلْنَا نُوحًا إِلَىٰ قَوْمِهِ إِنِّي لَكُمْ نَذِيرٌ مُبِينٌ And indeed we sent Nuh to his people and he said, إِنِّي لَكُمْ نَذِيرٌ مُبِينٌ I have come to you as a clear, as a manifest warner. As a clear warner. I'm warning you against what? The punishment of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. My dear brothers and sisters in Islam, the online viewers as well as the television viewers, Nuh alayhi salatu wasalam, his name, in other words, Nuh, his full name, we're going to talk about his nasab, he was Nuh ibn Lamik ibn Mitusholach, this is a bit of a difficult name, ibn Khanukh. Khanukh was Idris alayhi salatu wasalam. He was Nuh, the son of Lamik, the son of Mitusholach, the son of Khanukh, who was Idris alayhi salatu wasalam, the son of Yarid, the son of Mahlayil, or you can pronounce it as Mahlayil, the son of Qinan, the son of Anush, the son of Sheath, Prophet Sheath alayhi salatu wasalam, the son of Adam alayhi salatu wasalam. I hope it's clear. He was Nuh, the son of Lamik, the son of Mitusholach, the son of Khanukh, the son of Idris, the son, Khanukh was Idris, the son of Yarid, the son of Mahlayil, the son of Qinan, the son of Anush, the son of Sheath, the son of Adam, alayhi salatu wasalam. I hope it's clear. So he was Nuh alayhi salatu wasalam. Now how long did Nuh alayhi salatu wasalam live on the face of this earth? Scholars of history mention that he, Nuh alayhi salatu wasalam, he lived for 1,780 years on the face of this earth. 1,780 years. He lived before prophethood 480 years. 480 years before prophethood. And right after prophethood, until the great flood, until the punishment of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala came down, 950 years. Allah Azza wa Jal mentions this in the Noble Quran.
وَلَقَدْ أَرْسَلْنَا نُوحًا إِلَىٰ قَوْمِهِ فَلَبِثَ فِيهِمْ أَلْفَ سَنَةٍ إِلَّا خَمْسِينَ عَامًا
وَلَقَدْ أَرْسَلْنَا نُوحًا إِلَىٰ قَوْمِهِ And indeed we sent Nuh alayhi salatu wasalam to his people. فَلَبِثَ فِيهِمْ أَلْفَ سَنَةٍ إِلَّا خَمْسِينَ عَامًا And he stayed with them, he stayed amongst them 1,000 years less than 50. In other words, he stayed with them 950 years. ألف سنة إلا خمسين عاما. A thousand years minus 50, in the sense 950 years. فأخذهم الطوفان, after which the طوفان, the flood took them, وهم ظالمون, whilst they were ظالمون, whilst they were oppressors. Whilst they were oppressors. فَأَخَذَهُمُ الطُّوفَانُ وَهُمْ ظَالِمُونَ. So like I said, before prophethood, 480 years, and after prophethood, until the tufan, until the punishment of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala came down upon his nation, 950 years. So 480 plus 950, mathematicians in the crowd? 480 plus 950. 1,730, and so 1,780 minus 1,430, 350. After the flood, after the punishment of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala came down, he remained for another 350 years, totaling up to a grand total of 1,780 years. Nuh alayhi salatu wasalam. He lived on the face of this earth for 1,780 years in total. Allah Azza wa Jal, He talks about Nuh alayhi salatu wasalam in different places in the Quran, different places. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala even sent down a complete surah titled as Surah Nuh, Suratul Nuh. We have Suratul Nuh, a complete surah. So my dear brothers and sisters in Islam, Nuh alayhi salatu wasalam, when he was appointed as a prophet, now like I said, this was at the time when his people, they were worshipping the idols, the effigies, the monuments that they had put up in remembrance of those righteous individuals. This was the time Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala appointed Nuh alayhi salatu wasalam. So Nuh alayhi salatu wasalam, he kept calling them to the oneness of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. He kept on calling them, he kept on reminding them about Allah azza wa jal. He kept on inviting them to turn back to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. But their harsh, an arrogant response was, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentions it in the noble Quran, قَالَ الْمَلَأُ مِنْ قَوْمِهِ إِنَّا لَنَرَاكَ فِي ضَلَالٍ مُبِينٍ. قَالَ الْمَلَأُ, مَلَأُ in the sense the leaders of the qawm, the nation, they said, إِنَّا لَنَرَاكَ فِي ضَلَالٍ مُبِينٍ. Verily, we see you in plain error. You are committing a grave mistake. Inna lanaraka fi dhalalin mubin. This is what they said to Nuh alayhi salatu wasalam. Nuh alayhi salatu wasalam very calmly replies, qala ya qawmi laysa bi dhalalan. Oh my people, there is no error in me. There is no error in me. Walakinni rasulun min rabbil alamin. But rather, I am a messenger. وَلَكِنِّي رَسُولٌ مِّن رَبِّ الْعَالَمِينَ. But rather, I am a messenger from the Lord of the worlds. There is no error in me. There is no, I am not committing a mistake here. I am not in grave error. But rather, I am a messenger from the Lord of the worlds. أُبَلِّغُكُمْ رِسَالَاتِ رَبِّي. I am conveying unto you the messages of my Lord, رِسَالَاتِ رَبِّي. وَأَنْصَحُ لَكُمْ وَأَعْلَمُ مِنَ اللَّهِ مَا لَا تَعْلَمُونَ. And I advise you, as I know from Allah that which you do not know. وَأَعْلَمُ مِنَ اللَّهِ مَا لَا تَعْلَمُونَ. I know from Allah. Allah reveals things to me that which you do not know, that which you are not aware of. But these people, the chiefs, the leaders, they went on to argue with Nuh alayhi salatu wasalam. They were very obstinate, they were very proud, arrogant, stubborn. They did not want to listen to the message of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. They did not want to listen to Nuh alayhi salatu wasalam. They went on to argue with Nuh alayhi salatu wasalam. They say, Allah Azza wa Jal mentions this in the Noble Quran. فَقَالَ الْمَلَأُ الَّذِينَ كَفَرُوا مِنْ قَوْمِهِ مَا نَرَاكَ إِلَّا بَشَرًا مِثْلَنَا. The chiefs of the disbelievers from amongst the people, they said, مَا نَرَاكَ إِلَّا بَشَرًا مِثْلَنَا. We see you, you're just like a man. You're just a man like ourselves. Nothing special in you. You claim to be a messenger. You claim to be a prophet. But we see you just like us, an ordinary individual. And وَمَا نَرَاكَ تَبَعَكَ إِلَّا الَّذِينَ هُمْ أَرَاذِلُنَا بَادِيَ الرَّعِي. And we do not see, you know, rich, powerful people following you. Instead, we see the poor, destitute people following you. وَمَا نَرَى لَكُمْ عَلَيْنَا مِنْ فَضْرٍ بَلْ نَظُنُّكُمْ كَاذِبِينَ. And we do not see any merit in you. We do not see any virtue in you. In fact, we think that you are a liar. Allahu Akbar. Look at what they are saying to the Messenger of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. In fact, we think you are a liar. Nuh alayhi salatu wa salam once again calmly replies, قَالَ يَا قَوْمُ. O my nation, أَرَأَيْتُمْ إِن كُنْتُ عَلَى بَيِّنَةٍ مِّن رَبِّي وَآتَانِي رَحْمَةً مِّنْ عِنْدِهِ فَعُمِّيَتْ عَلَيْكُمْ أَنُلْزِمُكُمُوهَا وَأَنْتُمْ لَهَا كَارِهُونَ. He said, O my people, tell me if I have a clear proof from my Lord and a mercy, that is the Prophet that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has blessed him with, Nuh alayhi salatu wa salam. And he goes on to say, but that mercy, that sign of Allah, has been obscured from your sight. You cannot see it. Allah has blinded you. But then, أَنُلْزِمُكُمُوهَا وَأَنْتُمْ لَهَا كَارِهُونَ. And should we compel you to accept the message of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala when you have a strong hatred towards it? When you have a strong hatred towards it, are we to compel you to accept the message of Allah? Because after all, لا إكراه في الدين. There's no compulsion in deen. You cannot force someone to embrace Islam. You cannot force someone to accept the message of Allah. During the lifetime of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, there was a year known as Amul Huzn, the year of grief and sorrow. You see, in those days, they did not have accurate methodologies of recording time. You and I, we have 2015, 2016, 2017, we can record time. But in those days, they didn't have calendars, they didn't have all of this. They used to remember periods of time based on important incidents and events that used to take place in a given year. Like say for example, what was the year that the Prophet ﷺ born known as? Amul Fil, Jazakumullah Khair. The year of the elephant. Why? Because that was the year during which Abraha with his army of elephants, he came into Mecca to try and destroy the Kaaba, the house of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Now the Arabs of Mecca, the Quraysh, the Arab, they had never seen elephants. In general, when you go to the lands of Arabia, you're not going to find elephants roaming around. You will see camels, but you're not going to see elephants. You go to Africa, the jungles of Africa, and you come to Sri Lanka as well, you will see elephants. So they were amused and they were astonished rather. They were flabbergasted the minute they saw all these elephants, and they titled the year as Amul Fil. Now this year that I'm going to talk about, Amul Huzn, the year of grief and sorrow. Now why was it titled as Amul Huzn? Two very tragic incidents took place during that year that literally shook Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa alayhi wa sallam. That emotionally shook Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa alayhi wa sallam. The first incident, he loses his beloved uncle Abu Talib. The second incident, he loses his beloved wife Khadija radiallahu anha. Two incidents. We're not going to go into the incident of Khadija radiallahu anha, but Abu Talib was on his deathbed. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was informed about it. He rushes towards his uncle and he tries his level best to make his uncle utter the kalima. Because Abu Talib was very close to him. Abu Talib treated Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam like his own son, rather better than his own children. Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was his nephew in reality, but he treated him even better than his own children. He was so close to Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. He was a pillar of support for Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, rather a boulder of support. And so was Khadija radiallahu anha, and that's why I said that it emotionally shook Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, because during that year he lost two huge pillars of support, Abu Talib and Khadija radiallahu anha. So he was trying to coax him and make him utter the kalima, but he kept refusing. And the pagans of Mecca, like Abu Jahl and others, were not helping. They were around Abu Talib and they were shouting, they were screaming at the top of their voices, trying to drown the voice of Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa alayhi wa sallam. Finally, Abu Talib breathes his last without uttering the kalima. Without uttering the kalima. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam gets up, dejected, sad, and he leaves the room because he is sad for his uncle, that his uncle did not utter the kalima. He leaves the room. Allah Azza wa Jal reveals the ayah,
إِنَّكَ لَا تَهْدِي مَنْ أَحْبَبْتَ وَلَكِنَّ اللَّهَ يَهْدِي مَنْ يَشَاءُ.
O Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa alayhi wa sallam, إِنَّكَ لَا تَهْدِي مَنْ أَحْبَبْتَ. You cannot guide whom you will, whom you love. وَلَكِنَّ اللَّهَ يَهْدِي مَنْ يَشَاءُ. But Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala guides whom He wills. Allahu Akbar. Now some people take this ayah and they say that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala was rebuking Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa alayhi wa sallam. Allah azza wa jal was reprimanding Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. But that was never ever the case. Instead, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala was consoling His beloved Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa alayhi wa sallam by telling him, O Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa alayhi wa sallam, don't worry. It is not your responsibility to guide people. Your responsibility is iblagh. Iblagh ur-risala, conveying the message. You have to convey the message. Guidance comes from us. You have done your part. You have fulfilled your responsibility. You have conveyed the message. It is our wish whether we want to guide an individual or let an individual go astray. وَلَكِنَّ اللَّهَ يَهْدِي مَنْ يَشَاءُ. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala was consoling Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa alayhi wa sallam. So my dear brothers and sisters in Islam, like I said, لا إكراه في الدين. There is no compulsion in the deen of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Hidayah is from Allah azza wa jal. The responsibility upon the messengers was that they had to convey the message. So Nuh alayhi salatu wa salam was saying the same thing. أَنُلْزِمُكُمُوهَا وَأَنْتُمْ لَهَا كَارِمُونَ. Should I compel you to accept the message whilst you show so much of hatred towards it? The next thing that they did now was they started to offer Nuh alayhi salatu wa salam money. They thought they can bribe a prophet of Allah. They started to offer him money. They said, we'll give you money. Keep quiet. We'll give you money. How much do you want? We'll give you money. Nuh alayhi salatu wa salam replies,
وَيَا قَوْمِ لَهَا أَسْأَلُكُمْ عَلَيْهِ مَهَلًا.
O my people, I ask you no wealth. I don't want wealth from you. إِنْ أَجْرِيَ إِلَّا عَلَى اللَّهِ. Indeed, my reward is from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala.
وَمَا أَنَا بِطَارِدِ الَّذِينَ آمَنُوا.
And I am not going to chase away the ones who believe in the message of Allah. Because they said what? The ones who are with you are the weak, destitute, poor. We don't see any rich, powerful, influential, affluential people with you. We only see the poor with you, the destitute with you. So Nuh alayhi salatu wasalam said, وَمَا أَنَا بِطَارِدِ الَّذِينَ آمَنُوا. Just because you look down upon them, I am not going to chase them away. وَمَا أَنَا بِطَارِدِ الَّذِينَ آمَنُوا. إِنَّهُمْ مُلَاقُوا رَبِّهِمْ وَلَكِنِّي أَرَاكُمْ قَوْمًا تَجْهَلُونَ. Surely they are going to meet Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. But I see that you are a people that are ignorant. You are ignorant. Allahu Akbar. Just as how the Quraysh, what did they do? They went and made so many offers to our beloved Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa alayhi wa sallam. We'll get you married to the most beautiful woman from our tribes. We will give you wealth. We'll do this, we'll do that. But what did Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa alayhi wa sallam say? Even if you place the sun on my right hand and the moon on my left hand, I will not give up conveying the message of Allah. My dear brothers and sisters in Islam, this is the responsibility of spreading the message. And in regard to the Ummah of Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, the responsibility has been magnified. Allah Azza wa Jal states in the Noble Quran,
كنتم خير أمة أخرجت للناس تأمرون بالمعروف وتنهون عن المنكر وتؤمنون بالله.
Why are we known as the best of nations? كنتم خير أمة. You are the best of nations. What are our characteristics? تأمرون بالمعروف. Enjoying good. تأمرون بالمعروف. وَتَنْهَوْنَ عَنِ الْمُنْكَرِ. Forbid evil and believe in Allah. My dear brothers and sisters in Islam, we can't just stay at home. You know what? I'm going to the masjid. I'm praying. I'm reading the Quran. I don't have to worry about my siblings. I don't have to worry about my wife. I don't have to worry about my family. I don't have to worry about my children. I don't have to worry about my friends. I'm doing my thing. I'm going to the masjid 5 times a day. I'm reading the Quran. That is sufficient. No! We as the Ummah of Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sallam, it is upon us. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam in Hajjatul Wada, بَلِّغُوا عَنِّي وَلَوْ آيَةً. convey from me, be it even a verse. The conveyance and the sharing of all of this is upon us. We must spread the teachings of Islam. This is a responsibility that is weighing down upon our shoulders. Upon our shoulders. We must spread the teachings of Islam. We must spread the teachings of Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. We must make da'wah. We must call people towards Allah. We must call people towards Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. We cannot just sit and remain and think that, you know, I'm doing my thing. I'm seeking knowledge. I'm reading good books. I'm reading the Quran. I'm praying. I don't have to worry about the ummah of Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. I don't have to worry about the people who have not embraced Islam as yet. No, a believer cannot do that. A believer cannot do that. Especially a follower of Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam cannot ever remain in such a way. And remember, my dear brothers and sisters in Islam, we live in a time and an era where everything has become so, so easy. Allahu Akbar. We have so many tools at our disposal, but we use those tools for wrong purposes. You have social media platforms. You have so many things. You have, YouTube channels, for example. You have so many methods, so many ways of spreading Islam. But we don't use these methods. We use social media platforms for the wrong reasons. We like the wrong pages. We share the wrong pages. We share wrong content. Vulgar content at times. Inappropriate content. Instead, we can use these powerful tools to spread the beautiful message of Islam. Allahu Akbar. Today, with a click of a button, you can reach out to hundreds, if not thousands of people. With a click of a button. Being from any part of the world. Any part of the world. I am on WhatsApp groups and we have broadcast lists that have almost 500, 600 times divided across so many lists because WhatsApp only allows about 250 people per list. But then we have about 5-6 lists with people from all over the world. At the click, right after my talk, this talk is now currently being recorded. Okay, it's being recorded. And right after the talk, within about half an hour, within about 1 hour, it's sent across the whole world. I put it up on a platform known as SoundCloud, and SoundCloud allows me to even see which country, how many people have listened to my talk. If I go to yesterday's talk and click it, it will give me analytics. It'll tell me so many 300 people have listened, 400 people have listened, 500 people have listened. Allahu Akbar. When the videos go up on YouTube, you go onto our YouTube channel, The Daily Reminder, and you will see how many views we get within a month. Within a month. Per video, almost 30k, 40k, 50k views. People watching it, they're being inspired. And just imagine if one individual somewhere, far away, somewhere in some country, if he were to be inspired, if he were to turn to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and say, if he saw that video on your page, if you shared it, it doesn't necessarily mean that only the scholars are benefiting from this. No, even you can become a part of this. If you share good content, sometimes you think, you know what, if I share this, I won't get enough likes. Let me share something else and get good likes. If you share appropriate content, good content, productive content, if someone sees it, if someone is inspired. Today, even when we have a talk, when we ask brothers to spread the word, they don't want to spread the word. You know, he'll think I'm too religious. If you cannot make it for a talk, spread the word. Tell your family and friends. Say, you're busy, you're at work, you're tired, you couldn't make it, someone else made it. That individual made it and he was inspired. And every good deed he does, you're going to be rewarded by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. On the day of Qiyamah, you will go and you will be given your book of records. We pray that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gives us our books of records on our right hands. Ameen. You'll open your book and you'll just be blown away. You will see so many umrah, so many hajj, so and so has become a hafidh al-Quran, this, that, you don't know. What? How on earth did all of this happen? I think I got the wrong book. You might turn and see whether your name is on it or not. But then it will be said unto you, my dear brother, you shared this piece of information, you shared this video, you did this. You, whilst you were perhaps waiting for a taxi, or you were at the bus stop, you were at the airport, you spoke, or you were traveling on a flight, you spoke a few words with an individual. You didn't think about it, you got off the flight, you were at a transit perhaps. But those words struck a chord in that individual's heart, and that individual maybe after 5 years, 10 years, he or she embraces Islam. And then they go on Umrah, they go on Hajj, they make their children Huffadul Quran, Shuyukh. And those Hufadh al-Qur'an, those ulama, they call people unto Allah. So many thousands of people change. And the rewards will keep coming to you. Allahu Akbar. What a great investment. This is why we are known as Khayr Ummah. This is why we are known as the best of nations. Kuntum Khayr Ummatin Ukhrijat Linnas. So don't forget this responsibility, my dear brothers and sisters in Islam. We have so many tools at our disposal, and we will be questioned by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala on the day of Qiyamah as to how we use these tools. We can use them for amazing purposes. So let us use them, inshallah ta'ala. May Allah Azza wa Jal help us all to do so. So my dear brothers and sisters in Islam, Nuh alayhi salatu wasalam, he strove for 950 years, calling people unto Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. You and I, this is like a part-time job for us. Da'wah is a part-time job. Whenever we're feeling in the mood, whenever we're feeling, you know, our iman is a little strong, then mashallah, let us call people unto Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Let me, you know, sometimes you see when your iman is high, your Facebook page, mashallah, so many shares, so many likes, so many retweets. But after it starts to go down, then you see other content coming in as well. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala help us all. We are all, you know, in this pit. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala help us to change for the better. I mean, Nuh alayhi salatu wasalam, he strove for 950 years. Not a part-time job. 24/7. He himself says, قَالَ رَبِّ إِنِّي دَعَوْتُ قَوْمِي لَيْلًا وَنَهَارًا. Oh my Lord, I have called my people day and night. Layla wa nahara. I'm not exaggerating when I say 24/7. You might be wondering, Chef, that's a little too much. 24/7 da'wah. Layla wa nahara. Nuh alayhi salatu wasalam is saying this. I called them day and night. For how long? 950 years. Allahu Akbar. What a mission. What a project. What a da'wah project. 950 years, day and night, and then he goes on to say, Ya Allah, فَلَمْ يَزِدْهُمْ دُعَاءِ إِلَّا فِرَارًا. But each time I called them, it ended up with them running away from me. They used to run away from me. They used to flee away from me. They started stuffing their fingers in their ears when I approached them. Whenever I tried to approach them, they started to stuff their fingers into their ears. And they used to, you know, gather their garments and cover themselves. He states, وَإِنِّي كُلَّمَا دَعَوْتُهُمْ لِتَغْفِرَ لَهُمْ جَعَلُوا أَصَابِعَهُمْ فِي آذَانِهِمْ وَاسْتَغْشَوْا ثِيَابَهُمْ وَأَصَرُوا وَاسْتَكْبَرُوا اسْتِكْبَارًا. And whenever I call them, so that you might forgive them, they thrust their fingers into their ears, they covered themselves up with their garments, and they persisted in their refusal, and they magnified themselves with pride and arrogance. وَاسْتَكْبَرُوا اسْتِكْبَارًا. They started to boast, and they started to show off their arrogance and pride. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala save us from these elements, pride and arrogance. Ameen. He kept on calling them, my dear brothers and sisters in Islam, he kept on calling them, but they kept on refusing, they kept on turning away from him. After 950 years of a huge, tiring struggle, Nuh alayhi salatu wasalam, he raises his hands to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. قَالَ نُوحُ رَبِّ إِنَّهُمْ عَصَوْنِي وَاتَّبَعُوا مَنْ لَمْ يَزِدْهُ مَالُهُ وَوَلَدُهُ إِلَّا خَسَارًا. Oh my Lord, they have disobeyed me. إِنَّهُمْ عَصَوْنِي. Don't think that he tried for 1 year, 2 years, 3 years, 2 years, 3 years, and then he turned to Allah. After 950 years of calling them layla wa nahara, day and night, now he cries unto Allah. Ya Allah, they have disobeyed me and they follow the one whose wealth and children give him no increase but only loss. I mean, after all, their objectives were all very materialistic. Very materialistic. And they were not responding to my invitation towards you, Ya Allah. So he cries out unto Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and he says, وَمَكَرُوا مَكْرًا كُبَّارًا. And they have plotted a mighty plot. They have plotted a mighty plot. And they say, لَا تَذَرُنَّ آلِهَتَكُمْ وَلَا تَذَرُنَّ وَدًّا وَلَا سُوَاعًا وَلَا يَغُوثَ وَيَعُوقَ وَنَسْرًا. These names that I mentioned in the Quran. Then they say, you shall not leave your gods, nor shall you leave Wad or Su'a, Yaghuth, Ya'uq, nor Nasr. They said that they will never leave their gods. And now they cry out of their arrogance, with that we'll wrap off inshallah ta'ala. They cry out of their arrogance and they say, Nuh, bring it on. Bring it on, bring your challenge, we want to see. You see the arrogance? They say, قَالُوا يَا نُوحِ قَدْ جَادَلْتَنَا فَأَكْثَرْتَ جِدَالَنَا فَأْتِنَا بِمَا تَعِدُنَهَا إِن كُنْتَ مِنَ الصَّادِقِينَ. They say, O Nuh, you have disputed with us enough now, you know. This argument has gone for too long. Just bring what you keep on threatening us in regard to the punishment of Allah, bring it on. We are ready to face it. Look at their arrogance. Look at their pride. Nuh alayhi salatu wasalam, he replies, قَالَ إِنَّمَا يَأْتِيكُمْ بِهِ اللَّهُ إِنْ شَاءَ وَمَا أَنْتُمْ بِمُعْجِزِينَ. Only Allah will bring the punishment upon you if He wills, and then you will escape not. And then you will not be able to escape the punishment of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Allah azza wa jal now reveals to Nuh alayhi salatu wasalam, وَأُوحِيَ إِلَى نُوحٍ أَنَّهُ لَنْ يُؤْمِنَ مِنْ قَوْمِكَ إِلَّا مَنْ قَدْ آمَنَ فَلَا تَبْتَئِسْ بِمَا كَانُوا يَفْعَلُونَ. And Nuh alayhi salatu wasalam, it was revealed unto him, none of your people will believe except those who have believed already. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala closed the doors of tawbah. Allah shut the doors of tawbah after their arrogant statement that we just mentioned. And Allah said, those who have believed, they have believed. No one else will believe. So, فَلَا تَبْتَئِسْ, do not be sad because of what they used to do. Do not grieve over them. And you know why this was said? Because the wife of Nuh alayhi salatu wasalam did not accept the message. The son of Nuh alayhi salatu wasalam did not accept the message. They were all from the kuffar. They were all from the disbelievers. So Allah Azza wa Jalla reveals unto Nuh alayhi salatu wasalam, the doors of tawbah have been slammed shut. فَلَا تَبْتَئِسْ بِمَا كَانُوا يَفْعَلُونَ. Do not grieve over what they are doing. No one else will believe. Now the minute this was inspired to Nuh alayhi salatu wasalam, he raises his hands and he cries unto Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala.
وَقَالَ نُوحُ رَبِّ لَا تَذَرْ عَلَى الْأَرْضِ مِنَ الْكَافِرِينَ دَيَّارًا إِنَّكَ إِنْ تَذَرْهُمْ يُضِلُّوا عِبَادَكَ وَلَا يَلِدُوا إِلَّا فَاجِرًا كَفَّارًا.
He prays unto Allah. He says, Ya Allah, let not even one disbeliever, let not even one kafir remain on the face of this earth. Let not even one disbeliever remain on the face of this earth.
إِنَّكَ إِنْ تَذَرْهُمْ, if you leave them, يُضِلُّ عِبَادَكَ, they will mislead your slaves, the little slaves who have believed in you, they will mislead them. وَلَا يَلِدُوا إِلَّا فَاجِرًا كَفَّارًا.
And they will not beget children other than wicked, disbelieving children. They will only reproduce wicked and disbelieving children. The minute Nuh alayhi salatu wasalam prayed to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, Allah azza wa jal instructs him, وَاصْنَعِ الْفُلْكَ بِأَعْيُنِنَا وَوَحْيِنَا وَلَا تُخَاطِبْنِي فِي الَّذِينَ ظَلَمُوا إِنَّهُمْ مُغْرَقُونَ. That is the end. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala instructs Nuh alayhi salatu wasalam, O Nuh, وَاصْنَعِ الْفُلْكَ, construct a ship. Construct a ship. وَاصْنَعِ الْفُلْكَ بِأَعْيُنِنَا, construct a ship under our eyes. وَوَحْيِنَا, and with our inspiration. وَلَا تُخَاطِبْنِي, and do not address me, do not supplicate me. فِي الَّذِينَ ظَلَمُوا, in regard to those who have committed wrong, in regard to those who have done wrong. إِنَّهُمْ مُغْرَقُونَ, they are surely to be drowned. They are all going to be drowned. Allahu Akbar. My dear brothers and sisters in Islam, with that we conclude today's session. Tomorrow, insha'Allah ta'ala, we will talk about the punishment of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala descending upon the nation of Nuh alayhi salatu wasalam, and the series will continue from there. So until we meet tomorrow, insha'Allah ta'ala, jazakum Allah khair, wassalamu alaykum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.